I'm Michael Kist of Bleeding Green Nation, and I invite you, gentle listener, to join us for the best analysis of the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles in the business. BGN Radio provides you with the most informative preview shows, and the Kist and Solak show dives deep into all the scheme and X and O details you could ever want. Plus discussions with the industry's brightest minds, including former NFL players, and press conferences from the Eagles coaching staff to keep you up to date and informed every step of the way. Subscribe to Bleeding Green Nation today. Fly, Eagles, fly.
This is Flyperbole with Steve Jaco and Craig Forsyth, who could not possibly be paid enough money to tell Scott Laughton that he can't wear 21 anymore.
I've decided I'm going to make Pittsburgh Party a thing, and a Pittsburgh Party is a Friday night where you sit on one of the bridges and eat coleslaw. That's my definition of a Pittsburgh party. So
I can totally get behind your definition of a Pittsburgh party. I'm assuming Iron City sponsoring the event, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. I was gonna say we had to figure out what beer it would be, but yeah.
Well, it's Iron City.
Yeah,
it's 100% Iron City. Yeah, fueled by Iron City and the fact that Pittsburgh really had nothing going on this entire offseason.
Yeah, besides signing Banana Pancakes, yeah, they really haven't.
Is that Shaq Johnson?
Yeah.
Is that a reference to his Curious George soundtrack?
I think it's from the Curious George soundtrack. I don't know. I think that was the big song that was around.
You're just a monkey climbing in trees. You're just signing me to a 5-year contract for no reason.
All right, I'm about to ruin my Spotify history for this, but let's take a look at Jack Johnson's hits.
Well, you're talking about ruining Spotify history, and I was just thinking the other day I ruined mine by looking up Josh Groban.
Oh.
Sometimes I'll turn to Emily and I'll just be like, I don't know, I'll hear any mention of Josh Groban, like when you're rewatching The Office, going back to last week when we discussed The Office.
Yeah.
And he has that song where he's like, you lift me up. But I think it wasn't quite you lift me up. It was like something, another phrase, but yeah. I needed to look it up. But I'll just turn and I'll sing just that line because that's the only Josh Groban line I know.
Nice.
Like, you build me up.
This motherfucker is 457th in the world, according to Spotify, when it comes to plays.
Jack Johnson?
Yeah.
Is he above or below John Mayer?
I feel like John Mayer is going to be pretty high, man. I'm not going to lie, I do enjoy the occasional John Mayer jam.
What's your John Mayer jam of choice?
Oh my god, John Mayer's 108th. Get smoked, Jack Johnson, in the competition at Douchey White Guys. I don't know. John Mayer's did you ever see he had his own TV show on MTV?
I don't remember this.
It was one episode and he had Trick Daddy on. I think that was the guy's name. He was a rapper that had literally one rap song out. But it happened to be, yeah, Trick Daddy. Happened to be right when like that show was coming out. And John Mayer, what did John Mayer do? I forget what he did on the show. I think it was the thing where he like was outside the concert for John Mayer. And he was just like talking to people about John Mayer, but they didn't know he was John Mayer.
Oh, of course.
Like one of those things, but John Mayer songs. Hold on. Let's see. I mean, it's not many. I think it's all. Vultures is a good one.
You're going through this.
Well, it's Vultures. Well, everybody, Slow Dancing in a Burning Room is just fucking sad, but it's a good song. And that's it. That's my John Mayer stuff.
Okay. It's not Your Body is a Wonderland?
No.
Your body is a wonderland.
He really missed out. He should have opened up his own amusement park after that and then just put like he could have had a whole, like every school would have gone on a field trip there if he had just like made it so like the Heart Ride like illustrated what the heart does for the body. Like he just missed a golden opportunity to just make millions of dollars, in my opinion. Jack Johnson, I'm gonna look at his five top hits though. I wanna see
are if they all Curious George.
I think the last time I listened to him, somebody played him as a joke when we were watching the 2010 Olympics. It's too bad. It's not good music.
No.
Oh god. So yeah, Jack Johnson's in Pittsburgh though. He's gonna have himself some Pittsburgh parties. A couple of these Fridays here in August coming up.
Just get together, blast some Jack Johnson while talking about what a great signing Jack Johnson is, even though it's really not.
Just sit on one of those bridges, slam him some coleslaw, and just talk about like Franco Harris or something. I don't know. Well, I don't know what Pittsburghers do.
Yeah, they get together, they talk about Franco Harris, yeah. Shotgun Iron City, and that's what they do in Pittsburgh. It's a fact.
Yeah, that's better than watching the Pirates, you know what I mean?
Oh.
Yeah, take it from an Orioles fan. It's better than watching the Pirates.
That's true. That's true. I, you know, I feel bad for you as an Orioles fan, but at the same time, I'm just coveting your star player and hoping my team gets your star player every day.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much on the what it's been like. Well, it hasn't always been like that, being an Orioles fan. But that's usually...
It hasn't been, you know, as a Phillies guy, the past few years, it hasn't been like this for us, but...
Yeah.
Now I'm like coveting, like, oh, we can get somebody else's star player for once.
Yeah. Yeah. The Orioles, I mean, the Orioles weren't, they were really bad, and then they weren't bad for about 7 years, going on like 6 or 7 years now. But now they, clearly not good this year. I think they are almost 40 games under 500, and it's not even middle of July yet. So it's going pretty well. Not bad.
Yeah, things are fine.
Yeah, things are fine.
They're 24-62.
Oh my god.
34 games back in the division.
Yeah.
And they're 1-9 in their last 10.
Not bad. What real quick, what is Chris Davis's batting average? Because I know he's been doing pretty bad.
This is gonna take a minute.
Okay. Well, I mean we don't even need to look it up. I think he's been.
I'm already on my way. On my way. Yeah, I'm gonna pick up the milk because you already told me to.
By the way, I'm watching. Yeah, because there's nothing else on. I'm watching. What the fuck is this called?
Is this real? Is he really batting 154 for the season?
I know it's not good, and he's already like cruising past a bunch of people on the strikeouts list. So it's a fun time, Baltimore man. It's pretty neat. Didn't you pick out a year? Didn't you see them this year?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I'm gonna blame this on you then. I'm gonna say they aren't this bad.
I went to a win.
What a rarity this year, apparently.
They beat Tampa Bay. I was there for a win over the Rays, the vaunted Orioles Rays rivalry.
The most memorable win over the Rays you've probably seen in your life when it comes to baseball, right?
That's who the Phillies beat the World Series over, so not quite.
All right, agree to disagree, but you know.
Whatever. Look, I wasn't actually sure where you're going with that one for a second because I know you're not a Phils guy, and I didn't know if you knew that the Phils won the World Series over the Tampa Bay Rays.
Oh man, I was in college on that. That was my freshman year of college. I was at college for like 2 months that happened, and then it was a pretty good week after that. Pretty much
good vibes.
Yeah, drinking and not going to class. Yeah, we'll go with good vibes. Yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah.
Sure. But. 154 average, 7 home runs, 24 RBIs, and a 489 OPS. That's
killing it.
That's killing it.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, it's whatever. I'm not worried about it. Shouldn't be worried about
back.
It.
It's fine.
Yeah. Anywho. There has been some pretty good sports news recently, I guess.
Yeah, I guess maybe we could get to the hockey talk. I guess.
The big news, of course, is the Flyers signed Christian Poulin. Yeah. Let's talk about him. No, let's talk about
a cool 800K.
Yeah.
Right-handed, knows how to sit in that press box, can eat the shit out of a Flyers-shaped pretzel.
Yeah. Good for him. I mean, it's good money if you can get it.
It is.
If you told me all I had to do was sit around and eat pretzels, I'm there. I don't even care. I'll relocate for that job.
You're there for that job. You know, it's
look.
That sounds like night watchman to me. You need to be night watchman at a spooky factory.
They're like, if some ECHL team in Kansas or Iowa or something was like, look, you need to be our eighth defenseman. You're not going to play. You're just going to sit in the press box and eat pretzels. I'm like, done. You got it, buddy. I'm there for you. By the way, I don't know how to skate, but I will eat these pretzels. But, we can knock this one out real quick. I actually did like the signing because I wanted them to, if you look at the D pairings, it was Ghost Provorov. And then I think it's going to be Sanheim McDonald next year, which will be ideal because talked about before, Sanheim's like the only person that gives McDonald good underlying numbers in terms of puck possession. And it seems like McDonald's not completely useless when he's out there with Sanheim. But then that will make the third pairing Hag and Gudas. And I think that they need to bring in somebody else potentially to maybe play the third pairing. He's probably just going to play. He's just probably going to sit in the press box, though, you're right.
Probably.
But they need another right-handed guy, I guess.
You're thinking about this third pairing all wrong. You need to think of this pairing as good-ass Hag.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
That's a good-ass Hag right there.
That's one good-ass. That would quickly become the catchphrase for whenever they fucked up. Which, I mean, if they went out there together, would happen quite a bit. But I think
a bit.
Yeah. Maybe I don't know I think the other one was Hag McDonald and then Sanheim and Gudas. Follin's gonna be the he's gonna be the seventh defenseman. Do you remember back in like I think it was late the 2013-14 campaign when he was one of those big name college free agents that was coming out?
You know, yeah, I don't quite remember
the
this.
The Flyers were in on them. It was like the Flyers, the Wild, and I forget who else. But he went to he ended up going to the Wild. I remember everybody being pretty bummed out about that. But, I mean, if you look at all these like college free agents, they always usually end up not...
they're mediocre at best.
Yeah. I mean, we ended up getting the big prize of the one 2 years ago. Or last year, I mean, and... hasn't played much in the NHL. So, it's not really. Jimmy Vesey, too, was another one of those guys who made the decision to leave the Predators and join the Rangers, but usually they don't amount to too much, so we shouldn't freak out about them. But let's talk about, you want to talk about the big signing?
Let's talk about the big signing. So the Flyers actually made. A splash in free agency.
Oh, shit.
First time. Are you okay there?
Go ahead.
Oh, God. Oh, I'm a little disturbed. For the first time in the Hextall era, the Flyers made a big splash in free agency, and it was not a Dale Weiss type signing, thank God. No. Ron Hextall brought in a top six forward, as we all wanted him to. He brought James Van Riemsdyk home.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't the other guy that should have come home, but...
Now, some people that I used to do podcasts with, name rhymes with Sal Leemblatt.
Nice.
Might say that Van Riemsdyk is from Central Jersey. He got drafted here. This is his home. JVR's back, and I'm ecstatic.
Yeah, he came home.
It.
Cherry Hill, New Jersey native James Van Riemsdyk from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. There he is. He's coming home. If you're from New Jersey, you're from Cherry Hill to me. And that's how I'm going to label James Van Riems. Like,
Cherry Hill's Mike Trout. Cherry Hill's Johnny Gaudreau.
Yeah.
Hill's Frank Sinatra. Cherry Hill's Bruce Springsteen.
The Flyers practice in Cherry Hill. What is his? What town is JVR actually from?
I'm going to need a minute, but I'll find out.
I guess we should have known that, but, you know.
This was the most important thing for you to put on our fact sheet, and you failed.
Yeah, I did. Although I did put the big notes of mainly played with Bozak and Connor Brown last season. Which I have other – I have other notes. First of all, do you like the signing? We'll start.
Well, before I start with that, I need to report that he's from the most central sounding New Jersey town, Middletown, New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. He's from Cherry Hill. We're not using Middletown. Are you kidding me?
No, no. Cherry Hill's James Van Riemsdyk is back. Do I like the signing? I love the signing. The money might be a little high, but 5 years is a great, great term for this contract. And it gives you that top six forward depth that you needed. Automatically, you think the top six has to be Drew, Couturier, Konechny, JVR, Patrick, Voracek, which is just killer.
Yeah. No, I agree. I like the signing, too. I think the AAV is a little high, but at the same time, I think Hextall gave him a little bit more, so he'll take a couple years off the term. And 5 years is not... I mean, 5 years, $7 million each year, is it's a heavy contract to commit to, but at the same time, JVR fills a big organizational.
Pal. Sound it out. It's fine. I know you've been just pounding Monster and Vodka all day, but it's okay.
At work. Goal-scoring winger, though, is what the team has needed for a while. And, I mean, we talked about it at the draft with Vitaly Kravtsov as a guy who could be the next Kuznetsov and one of the Flyers to draft them. But Charlie brought it up on BSH radio this week that the Flyers really
don't. Which you were on, right? Which you were on.
Which I was on. Yeah, if you guys want to go back and listen to it. All the news should still be, you know, relative because it's July. And they, you know, they talk about the other guys like Ryan O'Reilly, who's the center, and some of the other big names that were out there. And the Flyers have some centers on the team now and have a lot of up-and-coming prospects who should fill those roles at center and on defense, but they really don't have a shoot-first, goal-scoring winger in the system, and it doesn't look like they're going to be coming along at any point in the near future. So you sign JVR and you kind of fulfill that role for the next half decade. And when you look at JVR's numbers, which I have another spreadsheet, which I did not, I was going to start writing an article, but didn't have time this week. Let me pull up the numbers here. When you look at all of his 5-on-5 numbers and his offensive numbers overall, I mean, I think he was the second biggest guy to get out there this offseason behind Tavares, which, I mean, it is great. And I'm happy that Hextall actually went out and got him. And it this was his first season to go out and get somebody with cap space. And he went out and got somebody. So I think it's a good step in the right direction, kind of moving the team forward. And it's not really they're in a mini rebuild right now. It kind of seems like he's pushing them towards being competitive this season.
One of the things to note that's really important, too, is that while he has cap space, he has a considerable amount of cap space, and they only have a couple guys left to sign to have their full roster. So, I mean, the Flyers are still going to be have a lot of room to maneuver in this upcoming season.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a thing too, where even after this year, you know, they lost some anchors on the team that we really didn't like this year. And they're going to lose their biggest one after 2018-19 too in Laterra. That's another guy that has a cap at of $4.7 million, so that's going to come off the books.
And he could talk about losing a couple of the anchors real quick too.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, let's talk about how I actually still might be more excited that they lost Manning and Filppula, because man, those guys. I'm glad they just signed and they didn't give us the Chris Vandevelde effect where nobody else signed them and they were still out there, and you got the feeling that Hextall really needed to go out and sign somebody, that he was just going to be like, you know what? It's early September. Chris Vandeville is still out there. Let's give him 9 minutes a night and see what happens.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's a scary thought, even when Hexie says the right things, where he pretty much flat out says, yeah, I'm not going to bring Filppula back. But until he's signed, it's
the possibility's there. Yeah, exactly.
So, I want to talk about the Manning one first. So
let's talk about all the Blackhawks signings.
All the Blackhawks signings. Yeah. They were ridiculous, but they signed Manning for over $2 million a season. What was it, 2.25?
2 years at $2.25 million a year.
That's horrible.
That is, I'll tell you what, it's a contract, and they're going to have to pay him that money. So I don't know if they know that, but you have to do it. It's in the league rules that you have to pay the people the money. But man, like, was there really somebody out there that was like, you know what, we're gonna give Manning $1.5 million? That you had to go, wait, we gotta give him more than that. We gotta bump up over $2 million a year. Like, was Manning's market really that big?
I can't fathom that it was. And this was right away also.
A left-handed defenseman that routinely gets battered in territorial play and just doesn't produce. He had 7 goals this year, which is maybe that's where he got the $2.25 million from.
I guess. But like, I mean,
it's not like the 7 goals were good.
No, they were garbage.
You remember the goal against Ottawa? The one where he shot it off the glass and it ricocheted in to make it like 5-1? I felt like his goals were that level of, and maybe not that lucky, but it was just like, every goal that he scored, I wasn't like, man, what a great play from Manning. It was just more of, I don't know how the goalie didn't save that.
Well, that was some lucky ass shit.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what it was. The thing is, like, at least Filppula had, a couple days until he signed, and you can, I mean, it still didn't make any sense, but yeah. Manning, this was right out of the gate. Like, the Blackhawks locked that guy down.
Yeah, like, Manning was, may have been, like, the first signing of the day, I think, which was impressive. Filppula, it's not like the Islanders didn't waste their time. I think Filppula still signed on July 1st. So he was, and like Hextall came out like 2:30 and was like, yeah, we're not signing him. And then the Islanders signed him a little bit after that. And first of all, let's finish dunking on the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks, I feel like if you're a Blackhawks fan right now, first of all, pretty cool to see what 3 Stanley Cups in 6 years. At the same time, it's an aging core. You're paying Jonathan Toews a ton of money for, you know, you can argue what skill set he has. Brent Seabrook is making a lot of money until the end of time, and he is very bad at hockey. Or he's, you know, not great. And then Stan Bowman, who usually looks like a genius, is like, look, we're keeping the guys together. We're going to take another run. We're going to rebound. We're going to make the playoffs this year. Add a couple pieces, we're going to make it. And the three pieces he goes out and gets are Brandon Manning, Cam Ward, and Chris Kunitz. Oh, God. Cam Ward, who I'm pretty sure hasn't made a save since the 2016 Cup final, and Chris Kunitz, who I'm going to say he's pretty much the reason why they lost the series against the Caps. Because, well, John Cooper was the big reason why. But Chris Kunitz was part of John Cooper's favorite line during that series of Cedric Paquette, Ryan Callahan, and Chris Kunitz. And I don't know what Chris Kunitz has at this point. He was barely good enough to be on Tampa Bay's fourth line. I don't know what he's going to do with the Blackhawks. And Cam Ward, I mean, talked about before, Corey Crawford has been a very big part of that team for the last couple of years because their possession numbers have dipped and he's bailed them out in a lot of games. But if you're going from Corey Crawford to Cam Ward, that's maybe one of the biggest goaltending swings across the league. So I don't know. Maybe guys bounce back. Maybe Dylan Sikora fucking cleans up in the bottom six. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, no, the Blackhawks are a mess. And you know any more years Brent Seabrook signed for?
I want to say, is he signed for 5 more years?
6.
You know, I was going to say 6, but I was like, there's no way it can be 6 more years. Nice.
There's no chance in hell that could be 6.
6 years, how many? What's the cap hit?
The cap hit is $6.88 million.
That's a tasty contract.
It really makes me feel a little bit better about 2 years of 5 for AMAC.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Actually, I gotta say, the more shitty defenseman contracts that get signed, the better I feel about that just horrible albatross of a contract.
Well, I think it also helps that there's only 2 more. Like, we've already done 2/3 of the work here. And I mean,
we've done a lot of the work, but also the fact remains that the cap hit's looking more reasonable compared to some of this shit that's going out there.
Oh, yeah. No, that's definitely fair. Yeah. I mean,
that's not to say it's good. It's not good. It's just less shitty.
Well, it also does help, too, that, I mean, they did, like, if Sanheim is able to do what he did this year, the McDonald situation, in a way, is mostly not there. He can, because this year he did. I felt like he did not have as many AMAC plays. Still had them. The occasional saucer pass to the our own slot when an opponent is uncontested or horrendous clears or just losing a puck battle and getting dunked on, or just, you know, bodying up somebody nowhere near the play. Those things are going to happen, but I felt like they happened a little less this year, and also he didn't get caved in terms of puck possession. So if that's able to happen again this year and next year, then, yeah, I feel a lot better about this contract. But, you know, it sucked for a while. It still sucks. But you're right. There's still some crazy. Oh, my God. The Islanders, though, real quick. Filfila, 1 year. First of all, they lose John Tavares.
They lose John Tavares,
which is,
and didn't get anything for him, which we talked about the possibility of trading him last year, and
how they should have, and like
it's tough. It's a tough decision, especially when you have a guy who definitely had a possibility of coming back like he did, and it's tough to trade a franchise player. But sometimes you got to make that tough decision and do it, and they didn't, and they lost him, and it's a disaster. That alone is a disaster. But then what Lou Lamoriello does to compensate for this just makes it worse and worse.
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, we should talk about, like, I think he came out and said, like, he didn't want to be traded, but at the same time, if you think that guy is going...
Who gives a shit?
Yeah, if you think that guy is going and the writing is on the wall, as in...
Eric Carlson.
Yeah, as in Eric Carlson, and, like, you know, when it came out that he could sign a contract for an extension, he was like, yeah, you know what, we're going to play out the season, see what happens. Maybe you just trade that guy. Because, you know, if you...
You could always sign him back.
Yeah, if you piss him off, well, guess what? At least you got assets for him. Because now, I mean, now you just have... I do enjoy the Islanders fans burning the jerseys, though, because...
Oh, they're burning everything.
I think Islanders might be out there for fan base I hate the most. Just because I've had a few interactions, I have not yet met a reasonable Islanders fan. Every other fan base, I've met one or two people where I'm like, all right, they're sane. I've encountered, I don't know how many Islanders fans, and they all seem like delusional douchebags. That's my personal experience, maybe. I don't know. Did I ever explain on here the one time I went to a Flyers Hurricanes game and I sat next to an Islanders fan who screamed at Max Talbot the entire game from the last row of the rink?
I feel like you mentioned that, yeah. But this is just such a ridiculous story that...
I mean, that's pretty much all it was. She was just, the entire time, he was yelling. He was just yelling at Flyers the entire time, no matter what happened. And it just always happened to be the Max Talbot that game. This was like years ago. It was the lockout shortened season, I think. Flyers ended up winning, but it was just the thing where each time the Hurricanes scored, he was just like standing up and like screaming like the Islanders scored in the playoffs, and it's just... And
how you like her now? Yeah!
Yeah.
How you like that, Flyers? Max Talbot. Hey, yeah. Max Talbot. Oh, you hear this, Max Talbot?
Yeah, pretty much just that. And just yelling by himself, and then he left early when the Flyers were up like 5-2 in the third or something. I don't know. Stuff like that. And then just out... I remember, God, I retweeted something last year of, I think the Caps shut out the Islanders and then they made fun of them. And I retweeted it and I got like 4 or 5 Islanders fans in my mentions. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, it's a regular season game. Let it go.
Do you have anything else going on at all? Like,
and my favorite was, I have to find it, but I remember there was one kid. There was a guy. It was the turning point of the season for the Flyers during 2016-17 where you knew they weren't going to make the playoffs. Like, you just kind of felt the slip coming, and you knew they're going to fall out of position. And the Islanders looked like they were going to surge and make it. One guy was talking all this shit, and I just remember the whole time saying that Tavares was going to leave for Toronto. And this was, like, in February of 2017. And I was just like, yeah, you can enjoy this, but, you know, they're not going to win the cup, and then Tavares is going to leave. And then he just, like, he kept saying 1975, I think, which is the usual comeback, which is funny as an Islanders fan too, because, you know,
what do you got, like 5 years on us? Great.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, maybe a couple more cups, but, you know, not exactly any closer to us or
nothing, you know, recent
or, yeah, so, but yeah, I mean, fuck them, that's my stance. And these nudes, well, are
their tears are really, I'm enjoying their tears.
It's reassuring that they get to go watch the Mets now, or the Jets, or whatever shitty New York team that they're supposed to.
The Mets, the Jets, the Nets, or the Islanders. They just need to change the Islanders to have a rhyming scheme with that. I don't know what's left
the Bets.
In the ETS. The Bets, the New York Bets. There you go.
Yeah. Who knows? But Phil Fuehler, 1 year, $2.75 million.
Sets?
Sets could work. Rets?
Let's, Pets. The New York Lets.
The New York Pets.
The New York Pets. The New York Pet Sounds.
I was going to say just New York Pets, and they release all the players and just hire workers from PetSmart. And
I think that's a much better.
Which actually, honestly, that might be what's happening here with Lou Lamb.
Oh, no. See, you say workers from PetSmart, but I'm thinking, like, no. It needs to be actual pets. Like, it's the Air Bud team, more or less.
And of course, that's allowed after the Air Bud clause of 1992. I don't know, but
We all remember when Bettman levied that, which is why he's getting into the Hockey Hall.
he was like, "Look, we're gonna add a couple teams. We're gonna bring in some animals. We're gonna see what happens. All right, maybe a lockout or two, spice it up,
and a team in Arizona.
See you in 25 years.
And a team in Atlanta. That'll work out."
So I was looking, I was looking up JVR stats the other day, because, you know, JVR.
He's a Flyer. Yeah. He's a Flyer. We brought him home.
I think the stat I was looking up was 204 forwards have played 5-on-5 minutes in 2017-18. So 204 forwards. Goals per 60 at 5-on-5. Phil Fuehler was dead last, I believe, at 204th. Leo Komarov was 202nd. And they are both New York Islanders after John Tavares left.
One of them has a no-movement clause for a one-year
contract. Yeah. In case another GM was like, I gotta have this guy.
I gots to get that Phil Fuehler.
Yeah, not gonna happen. You're not gonna fill your cup up with Phil Fuehler.
Ooh.
Ugh, it's July.
Ooh.
Leo Komarov, though, 4 years, $3 million a year. That's
some contracting
right
there.
That's a spicy meatball. Yeah, I mean, I remember him being the bane of Leafs fans' existence on Twitter, because they always bitch and moan because he would get more playing time than Mitch Marner, I think. And
see,
I can understand why.
It's not just hack.
You know what? Honestly, I think it might be hack at Babcock, because I feel like every single time we say it's not just hack, it's always...
Hack looks like Babcock's son, so it's...
Yeah, it kind of goes for that.
Like father, like son.
That stern look thing, too, yeah.
Yeah, it's the stern look, and...
Yeah, because I remember the other go-to thing was Matt Martin, who is now also an Islander, and the Islanders traded a goaltending prospect, Eamon McAdam, for him. Eamon McAdam, who played in the AHL last year, it's a 23-year-old, so... Making moves, baby. And then Tommy Kunoff.
That's a classic Lou Magic there.
Yeah, he's still got it. Still got that magic touch.
That's why they got rid of him in Toronto.
Yeah. Once that trap era hockey comes back, the Islanders are gonna fucking roll, dude. Tommy Kunako 1 year at $700,000. So these were the four moves. And I said before, and it makes complete sense actually, that they're just tanking. Like there's nothing that any of these moves, there's no way any of these moves are for them to be competitive. And they're going to tank, and they're going to try and see if they can get Jack Hughes, who's supposed to be like the next generational talent to come out.
Well, that's all part of Lou's strategy, because the Leafs sucked and they got Austin Matthews.
Yeah. Yeah. If he just keeps going there, if he keeps doing that and going to each team that is borderline a playoff team, trading away their best player, and then getting a generational talent, maybe he is a genius and we're all just overlooking it. But right now the Islanders also signed Robin Lehner for a 1 year deal, I believe, which is probably the best move out of the bunch. And I kind of pitched it as an idea that the Flyers should go out and get Robin Lehner because he is a middle of the road goalie with who when he's hot he's pretty good. But also, he seems to stay healthy. I say that after he's played a bunch of games the last two seasons, but he did have a couple injury plague seasons in 2013-14 and 14-15. But, you know, I thought maybe bring him in for cheap, which is what the Islanders did, and give him 1 year to prove himself, and then you try and trade like Neuwirth, and then maybe not have to rely on Alex Lyon and Peter Mrazek for without a core this season when it matters. But, you know. Actually, speaking of Peter Mrazek, the Hurricanes made a couple moves, and
another winning off season for a team. They still haven't traded Jeff Skinner, by the way.
They haven't traded Jeff Skinner, but Calvin DeHaan. I feel like Calvin DeHaan's a pretty good signing.
And, DeHaan's a good signing, and that's a guy who was wanted amongst a number of teams. I know the Flyers had expressed interest.
Yeah, and
I'm glad ultimately the Flyers went with the depth guy because I want to give Travis Sanheim every opportunity to make the starting.
Oh yeah, well,
the six.
I think Sanheim's locked into the top four. I think it's more the Foligno signing is going to be more about Philip Myers and whether or not, because it looked like for a while there that Phil Myers is going to make the team and maybe as a seventh, but with Folan in the mix, it looks as though Phil Myers is going to have to battle for that spot and maybe not be on the team this year, which is, I guess, fine. I mean, he can, if he's not on it this year, he's going to be on in 2019-20.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it feels like it's kind of, I don't know, they're working through until the guys are 100% ready.
Yeah.
Certainly that seems to be the case with Sandstrom / Hart, where you've got the 2-year contracts for Elliott and Neuwirth, which definitely are bridge deals to until one of those guys are ready.
Yeah. And it sounds like in the AHL, they're going to have, they're going to carry a couple goalies down there.
Yeah. There's going to be about 6 goalies on the Phantoms roster this year, right?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Well, because right now you've got, Hart's going to make it on that roster, right?
Yeah.
And then is Sandstrom going to play?
I think Sandstrom is staying in the SHL. I'm not sure, though.
Sandstrom's staying in the SHL. You've got Stolarz and you've got Lyon.
Yeah. So they might have to carry 3. And I don't.
What about Tokarski? I'm kidding.
And John Mew is left for the Penguins. But, actually, we can talk about their move. I mean, we made fun of Jack Johnson. They signed John Mews, and then they also brought in 92-year-old Matt Colin. See if he can bring back some of that magic from the cup-winning season.
Yeah, he's working that Jim Rutherford magic over there, and you just can't deny he's the best GM in the game.
1 year, $650,000 for a 41-year-old. And, I mean, I like Matt Colin, but he is 41, which, I mean, you know what I mean? You get it. He's old, is what I'm saying.
Needs Viagra. I gotcha.
Okay, all right.
Whoa,
let's take
man.
The show there.
This is Jack in the morning. You need Viagra, don't you? Am I right? All right. The show brought to you by Budweiser, ice cold Budweiser.
I think we should go back and talk about GVR for a little bit, because I don't think we talk about him enough and how big of a signing. I think it's a really good signing.
It's a really good signing.
And it does solidify the top six, like what you were saying before.
Yeah, it solidifies the top six. And I think there were 3 moves we talked about Hextall potentially making. It was a top six guy, a third, fourth line defensive center, and a deaf defenseman. He made 2 of the 3 moves, and frankly, I'm glad he didn't make the middle move I mentioned there. Because
me too. Yeah.
Well, what it's sounding like from development camp is that there's a couple guys that could be ready to just jump into one of those slots. And even if it's Scott Laughton in the third and one of those guys in the fourth, or one of those guys in the third and Scott Laughton in the fourth, it's great that you have options. You've got guys hungry to go into those slots. And it could be Vorobiev. It could be Frost.
Yeah.
If you're Ron Hextall, apparently you're throwing Jordan Wheel's name out there, even though he's more of a winger. Okay, whatever. But
yeah. I think it's going to be Scott Laughton that's the 3C. And after the year he had as the 4C, I think it's deserved for a year. I mean, ideally he's not going to be the long-term, answer there, and I don't think he is. But for 1 year, that's really not a bad idea. And also,
maybe if he learns to win face-offs.
Am I right, folks? Well, also, the third line of him, Oscar Lindblom, and Wayne Simmons would be It's a pretty good third line. Because Wayne Simmonds, I think he played most last season with Filppula, right? Or get him
he
out.
Played a good chunk with Filppula.
Yeah, so go from Scott Lawton or from Filppula to Scott Lawton would be a pretty nice improvement. And Lindblom, in the limited time he had, seemed to really drive play. So I think if you give Simmonds two guys that are pretty good driving the play at 5-on-5, I think his numbers will be fine too. And, you know, he's not going to be fully healthy because, I mean, he had to deal with a lot of injuries and he has to kind of, you know.
He had about a dozen surgeries.
Maybe he's not completely 100% next season, but a lot healthier than he was. And with better line mates, I think. I mean, if you get 30 goals out of Simmonds when he's getting third line minutes, that'd be nuts. And that would they would have three ridiculous lines. Also, the fourth line, I mean, I think Raffle and Wheel will be on the fourth line. And even if that's with Laterra or if it's with. Even if it is with Laterra, it's not a bad fourth line because ideally Raffle and Wheel will kind of cancel out whatever Laterra does, which would be. Farting on ice. I don't know, like falling all over the place by himself on the ice. So hopefully
he's an all-star along the boards, Greg. Don't forget that.
True, yeah. Shout out to PC if you're out there listening to the Fly Purple League podcast.
If you are listening, Billy Clement, please come on.
Oh yeah, please come on. Yeah,
I'll host you in the Fly Purple League basement studio. It's we just cleaned it up. It's looking less storagey.
Less storagey.
we don't have the air conditioning flowing down here, but we can get a couple fans.
Yeah, for you, we definitely get a couple fans. And I'm speaking on behalf of Steve buying the fans. I'm not going to see you, but I will record with you. But Steve will gladly buy you some fans. I'll buy you whatever you want. So if you're out there, Bill, please come on in.
Get you an ice cold tab.
Yeah, that's probably what he drinks. So
I heard it was Fresca.
Yeah, it's whatever below average soda he wants, he can get.
It's Pathmark grape soda.
It's Mountain Lightning or Dr. Thunder. Do you ever see those Walmart brands?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's Dr. Thunder, isn't it? Isn't that the shitty Dr.
I
Pepper one?
I believe that's the case. There's always, if it's a Dr. Pepper variation, it's always got to have a Mr. or a Doctor, some sort of formal
Mr.
title.
Pip. Yeah.
Yeah. Some sort of formal title associated with it.
Professor
to make sure.
Cola.
You know, I was assuming it was a Coke knockoff, but then I saw the Mr. in there and I was like, oh, well, it's Professor Cola PhD. So, you know, it's a spicy soda.
So I went to school for 8 years to have this soda taste like shit. So just that. took 8 years.
It tastes like knockoff Dr.
Yeah.
Pepper. Yeah.
Took 8 years to manufacture this warm piss. So I have JVR stats if you're.
I'd love to hear them and stop talking about knockoff sodas.
All right. Well, we'll circle back to it. I kind of want to keep.
We'll
talking.
Circle back to it. I want to talk about my late great grandmother's favorite soda, the Pathmark cream soda, which she drank until she died.
Oh, well, there you go. I mean, that sounds like a weird choice to have for your go-to soda, but...
Super weird, but she was very old.
Okay. You know what? That weirdly explains it. So, I mean, I think we're good. All right, I got a lot of stats here, so you can take a nap real quick if you want.
Oh, sounds good. All right, good.
All right, so JVR last year was one of 16 players with 35 goals or more. He had the... he had 21... 5-on-5 goals for forwards. Or he had 21 5-on-5 goals last year. Drew had 22, Konechny at 21. He had 164 5-on-5 shots, which led the Leafs, and Konechny led the Flyers with 149. Had 300 individual shot attempts at 5-on-5. Voracek led the Flyers at 242. 10.1 shots per 60 at 5-on-5. Konechny led the Flyers with 8.64. Tie with Ovechkin for 15th overall with 48 even strength goals over the last two seasons. Couturier leads the Flyers with 38. And of 198 forwards who played 900 5-on-5 minutes or more, according to Corsica, JVR was third with 1.14 individual expected goals for per 60. And connecting with the Flyers was 0.83. He was with Toronto for six seasons. He played in over 50 games for four of those seasons. 2013 lockout season, He was 48 games. And then 2015-16, he was injured, I believe. He had 238 overall shots in those four seasons. And he had 400 or more shot attempts in three of those four seasons. Voracek led the Flyers this year with 228 shots. And only there's only been three other players for the Flyers since JVR's time with Toronto that have had over 238 shots on goal. It was Voracek had 253 in 2016-17, Drew had 241 in 2015-16, and Drew had 279 in 2014-15. And Gostisbehere led the Flyers with 458 shot attempts this year at 5-on-5. So what I'm saying is JVR fills a big need that this team needs in terms of shooting the puck and scoring. Because nobody on this team wanted to shoot. And
I'm going to sum this up for the upper bowl, okay? Hey, you guys, we finally got a guy who shoots.
I was going to say, this is like, I wonder if they signed him. You know what's funny, though, is I think a lot of people in the upper bowl probably still hate him because they think he's soft.
And oh, 100%. Like, you just can't win with the upper bowl.
Yeah, and I said this on the PSH radio, but when he was here before, I liked him. I did not hate him. I did feel like his big move, though, was to he would push to the outside and with one hand shield off the defender, and then he would always, like, try and do this, like, one-handed shot at the crease that was, like,
That's a worm very
burner.
Accurate.
Yeah, like a worm burner that never went anywhere. But, I mean, he still put up points.
Donovan?
That was a very... he used to always pass the puck into the other guy's shoelaces. I don't know. It was a whole thing.
This like, is, okay, when you're talking worm burners and soft guys in Philadelphia, JVR and Donovan McNabb must be best friends because that's like...
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh came out and said that JVR is only famous because he's from New Jersey. I don't know. It was a whole thing.
JVR got a DUI in Arizona. Who saw that coming?
Number 21 will always love you.
No. And most importantly, he got his 21 back. I don't know what he's got to pay murderous Scott Laughton for it.
That's already come.
That's what the merch is saying.
All right. Okay. That's what we'll go with. I assume Scott Long will just jump to 22. Yeah.
Probably 49, right? Wasn't that
his
other number?
Yeah.
Not that that's claimed, right? Like,
yeah.
49 sitting wide open there, murderous Scott Laughton.
Is it? I thought Alex Long was 49.
Oh, who cares?
Yeah,
he's not making the team anyway.
Get out of here. I think Alex Long was 49. Oh, God. All right, I got to look it up.
He probably was. Yeah. You look it up, and I'm quickly going to talk about Alex Lyon's new mask this year.
Scott Laughton should be 22, by the way, is my opinion. That's my stance.
Yeah, that the old Luke Shen number?
Yeah.
Luke Shen going back to the West Coast, by the way, to the Anaheim Ducks. So good for you,
Yeah,
Luke.
They wanted – apparently the Ducks want a big and slow defenseman because they also signed Andre Schuster today. So shout out to the Ducks for winning the 2004 Stanley Cup. That's where it's at, baby.
Partying like it's 1999.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Oh, man.
Now, while you're looking up the Lion thing, I just wanted to mention he did showcase his new mask for the year with an homage to The Sixth Sense. So he went with it last year, and then this year he went with The Sixth Sense. And I can appreciate that because it's the Philadelphia horror movie, and that's a pretty cool little connection right there for Lion.
Nice. Yeah. Steve, you're not going to believe this, by the way. My computer is being a real butthole at the second, so I'm
going to... I'm going to have to look up Alex Lyon's number on my fancy phone.
Hold on.
This is my favorite segment of the show where Craig struggles with his computer. No, not where we look up stuff, where you struggle with your computer very openly.
Usually it happens before the show. And Steve and I start about an hour later because I have the worst computer known to man. But, Alex Lyon was 49.
Well, there we go. And when I tried to look up Alex Lyon on Google, I got Alex Lyon and Son Sales Managers, general contractor in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
There you go. The only town in New Jersey. Shout out to Cherry Hill. I thought you were going to say there's pictures of people wearing name tags with Alex on it being eaten by lions, which... I think would be a pretty awesome Google search, in my opinion.
I got nothing for that one. Good God, good. Man.
There should be no response to that, so good. Let's talk about some of these other signings real quick, though. Because the Flyers didn't do much. I think Hextall did pretty good.
Just the right amount, and it opens up the door for Vorobyev or Frost to make the team next year, and compliments that top six in a real nice way. So, and got a guy who shoots.
Yeah. Vastly improved the forward situation. No Filppula, JVR. The lines look a lot better. Leaves the door open for the kids. Only sign of depth defenseman. My only concern is going to be the health of the goaltenders next year. But besides that, I think they look... Also, do you think the JVR contract does anything for Simmons?
You know, we were having this debate with our old pal, Marcello, over text.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, to be honest. It depends, I think, on what Simmons wants. Because if Simmons is okay being paid like a second slash third liner, a middle six guy, that's okay. And a power play specialist. They'll bring him back if he's okay being paid like that. But if Wayne Simmons wants to be paid like a top six stud winger, there's no way Ron Hextall is going to bring him back.
Yeah, I agree. And I think they're going to let this season play out too now. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. And, I'm hoping he has a big season, and I hope he gets paid one way or another. If the Flyers do give him big money, I hope it's not for the most amount of term, I guess. Like, if you gave him, I mean, he's going to need to get a raise, right? I don't know if it's going to be, it's going to be the term, is I think what's going to really matter to me. Because I'm fine with paying Wayne Simmons, but I don't know if I want it to be 5 or 6 years at a
We've discussed this before. You know, that kind of tough, gritty player does not age well.
No, not at all. No, and I mean, especially after the season he had this year, that probably doesn't help that process at all. I mean, it probably just speeds up the window he has to be an effective player. But we're talking about JVR and how the biggest thing he brings to the team is just shooting the puck and scoring. And Simmons is probably the best guy on the team here that does that. So now it's going to be him and JVR.
But the problem is for Simmons, it's mainly on the power play.
Yeah, no, that is true. Yeah, and he has struggled at 5-on-5. I've been thinking about those. Simmons had to play with Filppula a decent amount this year, and I remember first couple seasons he was here, he played alongside Lecavalier too. So he doesn't exactly stand out 5-on-5, but at the same time, some of the coaches really haven't helped kind of heal that process.
He's not getting much help, and you know, Braden Schenn was usually his line mate also, and that guy,
and he wasn't too hot
for his 5-on-5 deal, you know.
Yeah, until he went to St. Louis, of course. But
after he got two All Stars on the wing.
Oh well, you know, nobody wants to talk about that, Steve. Just want to talk about how he's gotten better since he left here. So you know how it is.
Nobody wants to talk about Jay Farabee.
Yeah. No.
Nobody wants to talk about Morgan Frost.
That's right. We're going to talk about him. We're going to talk about him forever.
We're going to talk about him forever, even if they don't pan out. But if they both pan out, I'm really going to talk about him.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But okay. So the Flyers, I mean, they did pretty, he did pretty good in free agency this year, I think. Ron Hextall.
Yeah. He did everything I wanted him to. And I'm excited to see who wins these camp battles right now. There's a lot of exciting ones lined up, and yeah.
I think so. After these free agent signings, I'm going to tie it into another big signing that happened. Where do you think that puts them in the Metro / Eastern Conference picture?
So you're probably still looking at Caps and Pens as your 1 and 2 in the Metro.
I
think the Pens are they're coming down a little bit. And they had a horrible offseason. I don't know about the Pens moving forward, but until that Crosby, Malkin, Kessel trio proves me otherwise, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt over us. I think the Flyers might come in right behind that, though. I think they're pretty close. They're above the Devils for sure. I think they're above the Blue Jackets, although the Blue Jackets are tough.
Blue Jackets made a bunch of good moves, too.
Yeah, the Blue Jackets made some good moves. They're definitely above the Hurricanes. No doubt about that.
I think they're definitely above the Devils, the Islanders, and the Rangers.
You have a lot of faith in the Hurricanes.
I don't. Because you know what happens every goddamn year with the Hurricanes?
Yeah, this is what I was saying. Every year, you're like, you know, the Hurricanes might be good, and then they're a piece of shit, no, Craig.
Okay, first of all, it's not just me. It's everybody else that looks at the like the underlying numbers and everything, because every single year they go out and get better players that, like, they always drive play. They're always, like, top of the league drive play. And then each summer after it doesn't work out, they go out and get, like, the best available position. Like, Calvin DeHaan, it seems like a very Carolina Hurricane signing. And they got
Dougie Hamilton.
Yeah, so, like, but
look at their goaltenders, Craig.
Scott Darling and Peter Mrazek. I know. That's why I know. I'm just excited to watch Scott Darling post, like, an 840. And that's the reason why they don't win games, so.
They're going to be horrible because of the goaltending. Like, they might.
But
Flyers are better than them. Brian Elliott's better than them.
Yeah, I think the Flyers are. I think the Flyers are third. I think the Flyers are third also.
I still think they're below if we look at the other division. I mean, with the move Toronto made.
Yeah.
I think they're definitely below Toronto. They're definitely below Tampa. They're close to Boston.
I think they're close to Boston. Yeah, I think they are below Tampa and Toronto, though. But Toronto, I mean, the Tavares signing is huge, and their forward depth is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
And Frederik Andersen, when he's on, he's on.
That defense is not good, though.
Defense is kind of a little suspect, though. I mean, I like Riley, I like Gardner, but Zaitsev still gets a lot of playing time there.
Well, Toronto really seems like a team that could really use some veteran leadership on the back end.
Oh, I know where this is going. I got you.
There's a guy who the Flyers have, okay? He's an experienced guy. He can be found at a now reasonable cap hit for that kind of veteran leadership and savvy. He's a rookie whisperer. Every rookie gets some time with this guy to bring him along.
By the way.
And he blocks shots like nobody's business. And I think a perfectly reasonable deal is a straight-up Andrew McDonald for William Nylander trade. Just straight up. I think it's reasonable.
Who says no? That's my question.
Who says no?
Not the Leafs. They shouldn't say that if they want to win a cup. And
who
I'll
says
tell
no?
You what.
Kyle Dubas says no, but why should he?
Real quick, Kyle Dubas is a fine GM. I think it's a little annoying, in my opinion, though, that I think Tavares...
Let's get this out right now, because I have absolutely despised the media attention to this Tavares deal. And I really like John Tavares, and I think it's a great pickup for the Leafs. But the Canadian media is acting like this is a revolutionary fucking deal, where it's just like, oh, wow, look at this. They signed the best player that was available in free agency in years. What a revolutionary move by the Leafs. They're really forward-thinking. And, hey, guys, have a lot of fun re-signing all of your young free agents in the next few years. That's going to go over real well. I'm sure Mitch Marner's going to settle for a lower paycheck to keep playing on the glory of playing on the Leafs. He's definitely not going to want to go somewhere and get paid more. Definitely not.
I think my thing is the Islanders were pretty shitty the entire time Tavares was there, and it made sense for Tavares to get the fuck out of that situation, even though despite our claims that he is – going to be a dumb hockey person and just stay committed.
Well, let's again never forget the fact also that not only was it a shitty Islanders team, but it's also the fact that they had a shitty stadium situation his entire
time there. Yeah, there are so many reasons for him to get out of that situation. And he also, it happened to be that his hometown team that he loved growing up is also pretty good and had some cap money to throw around. I just love the idea that, like, yeah, like Kyle Dubas is getting, like, blown up for being, like, this amazing GM. And it was just kind of like a superstar player is like, I kind of want to go home. And he just, like, it wasn't like they had to, like, wheel him in. It was just like, team mom now sucks. I want to go home, score goals, make a lot of money.
I'm considering this the hockey equivalent of a guy going, yeah, I'm going to play for the Yankees.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Hard stuff.
I'm really shocked by your decision to play for the most famous sports team in the world.
Or you will get paid a gajillion dollars. Surprising that the GM was able to reel him in here. So,
in the hockey world, everything revolves around Toronto. Everything revolves yep. around Toronto. And it, for all those factors you mentioned, for the fact that they're an exciting team, it's his hometown team, that he has all the sheets next to his Naboo starfighter and all that, great. You know, there's a ton of factors in their favor. And it's like, all right, good for you guys. But to act like this is, it's such a brave signing by Dubas is just insane to me. Guys, let's settle down.
Yeah.
You didn't do anything special. Great, great. And you know who used to make these kind of moves? Bobby Clark.
You know what's going right? to you know what's gonna happen now, by the way, that we're dunking on him, is by the time this podcast is up, the Leafs are going to trade for Carlson and like trade peanuts for Carlson. So this is
I'm very disappointed, by the way, that we did not have Carlson, an update on Carlson watch at the beginning of the show. We were very close.
Yeah, what was okay? So you saw, I wasn't on Twitter right before the show, but you were telling me about it. What was, did you see what the proposed trade was?
No, and that's the part that's like kind of irritating. Oh, okay. Is that I didn't see what the proposed trade was, but I think it was somebody from TSN going just waiting for the paperwork at this point. And then Drieger tweeted at some point earlier today, Tampa Bay and Ottawa continue to work on an Erik Karlsson trade. The Rangers may be involved as Lightning need cap room. Back to New York?
Oh, God, that'd be so great.
it'd be so great. They're going to be dumpster fire this year.
Yeah, if the Lightning got Karlsson and lost Callahan in one move, I'm going to be really fascinated to see how they blow it next year, how they Washington caps it up next year. It'll be a new, it'll be harder. It'll be the cap Shattenkirk here is what they would be doing. And I'd be pretty excited to see how that would go down. Like if they had gotten Carlson and lost Callahan, there's no excuse. Like they were already, I mean, even though the Caps just won, the Lightning, we're the best team in the Eastern Conference this year, and we're cup favorites.
Imagine having your top three defensemen be Victor Hedman, Erik Karlsson, and Ryan McDonagh.
yeah, exactly.
I guess Braden Coburn's number four.
Yeah, there. Well, Braden Coburn's your four. That's not really the worst situation in the world.
That's a great situation.
And they also lost Andre Schuster to that. Yeah, I mentioned that earlier, who... Not the biggest impact guy, but he wasn't exactly great for him. And they still have Vasilevsky, and yeah, that would be. I don't know how they would blow, but they would because of the Lightning and they like to lose. Cooper would just like throw out. He would just play Braden Coburn and Dan Girardi at like 30 minutes a night, and just wouldn't understand why they were losing games. Cedric Paquette, first line center, just not understanding how. No, but they're getting caved in terms of possession. So, it sounds. I mean, so Tampa Bay is the big one. I heard a lot of talk about Dallas today, even though I don't think I saw any reports. It was just.
Now there is still a lot of Dallas talk over the past couple of days. So Dallas is apparently close. Tampa Bay is close, and according to a bunch of bullshit makers out there, the Flyers are really hot and heavy on this one, which I don't believe.
I think this is just the thing where people see the fit and they know the Flyers have cap space, and Hextall actually went out and made a move, so now people are like, he might be in the mood to make moves, and they got cap space and they need another right-hand defenseman. Maybe
are chomping or champing or whatever stupid term,
whatever incorrect English term. Yeah.
Which one's right? I don't know. It's stupid. Yeah. Feels like it should be chomping. Champing's stupid. I'm going with chomping at the bit. So Flyers fans are chomping at they're foaming at the mouth for this deal. They want it to happen so bad because we haven't had a spicy, spicy deal since Paul Holmgren was in town. Since that, I think the last time we had anything this crazy was probably when the Flyers offer sheeted Shea Weber, which would have been a franchise changer had it worked.
Which, I mean, we can touch on that news from today. Did you see that?
I missed that. What happened?
Shea Weber is out 5 to 6 months after knee surgery.
Dodge that bullet. Great.
He played in 26 games last season, had 16 points, 26 games last season. He'll be 33 by the start of this season. He has 8 more years at a cap hit of $7.857 million.
Eight more years.
well.
Okay, so That's terrible. I'm sorry. That sucks.
By the way, Weber. Real quick though.
Hilarious about the Habs though.
Yeah, I mean, and if you look back, because I think it was if the Predators didn't match that offer sheet, the Predators would have gotten the Flyers the next four first round picks. So I think they would have made the Marin, Sanheim, Provorov, and Rupsov picks. I believe that's what it was. So they could have had Weber. They could have not had Sanheim. They could have not had Provorov. Like, they could have... They could have been a whole... Like, that timeline is just fucking horrible.
Thanks, Homer.
Yeah, they probably... Because even if they had signed him in... if they had gotten him for that lockout-shortened season, I don't think they would have been... I don't know. They wouldn't have been that much better. They were a pretty bad team that year. But, also another real quick related to the Canadiens, too. Steve Mason was traded to the Canadiens and balled out, like, immediately. So, this might be the weirdest transaction I think I saw all day, by the way. So, Simone Bourque, who was a prospect for the Canadiens, got traded to the Jets for Steve Mason, Joel Armia, a 2019 7th, and a 2020 4th. So four pieces for a prospect. I'm pretty sure it's just because they were buying out Steve Mason. It was going to be a decently sized cap hit. So, but yeah, that was all right.
Poor Steve Mason.
Yeah. Where were we? What were we? What happened?
We got real derailed is what happened.
Carlson. But... We were talking about Carlson deal.
So think about Carlson, okay? What I want to know is if, you know, these crazy, stupid, fake Eklund rumors, which, you know, Eklund rumors is, of course.
Did you see the typos in that one blurb?
Oh, my God. He definitely wrote that drunk at a barbecue.
Yeah, he had three typos in the headline.
Play-omg.
Yeah, that was something. That was something else.
That was, even by Eklund standards, that was piss poor. That dude usually is just jamming his keyboard to get whatever news he can out there.
Yeah.
And, not, super nice guy, but my God. I don't believe a word he says, but the thing about this is, like, so presumably Ottawa's gonna want a substantial player back. Right, like probably a defense.
Yeah,
like they're probably going to want a substantial defenseman back. They'll probably want an impact offensive player or prospect, a first, maybe another prospect, maybe another pick beyond that. Who's? I know who my untouchables are. Who are your untouchables in any sort of deal for Carlson? Who? Carlson's one of the three best defensemen in this league. Yeah, who's your untouchable? And like, just if you're the GM of the Flyers, if you're Ron Hextall, who are the guys you refuse to give up in a deal for Erik Karlsson?
For me, Provorov. And that's about it. I don't know. Nolan Patrick is probably up there, too.
Yeah. I guess my big
here,
one
you
is...
can. I mean, you can rattle through. I mean, like, I'm... The untouchables is always kind of like a, because I don't want to say, I mean, we talked about the last time we recorded, like, if the Oilers came up and said, look, we're trying to unload Connor McDavid, and you listed off every young great player on the Flyers, I'd be like, fantastic, we will take Connor McDavid. Like, there's no...
Yeah, but I think McDavid is, he's heads and, like, tails above everybody else. Like,
right,
he is,
yeah. There, I
that
think
easily the best. And here's the thing, I like Erik Karlsson a lot. But I think there's a lot of guys on my team that I wouldn't necessarily want to give up to get him. And I might sound foolish for saying that, but I really feel this way. And there's...
I think the big thing,
I'm concerned about his health history, frankly. Right. And my big one keeps coming... I keep coming back to Shane Gostisbehere on this, okay? Because I think I've heard a lot of people say that Ottawa would probably want Shane Gostisbehere back in a deal like this. And I don't know, man. I don't know.
I don't think I would trade. I wouldn't trade Shane Gostisbehere. Shane Gostisbehere being another guy that, yeah, is probably out there. Forwards,
well,
though.
I want to talk about Ghost for a second.
Yeah,
though,
yeah,
is, I don't know, man. I just feel like Like, I'd give up Sanheim, easy. Give up Marin, easy. I'd give up even Myers, but Ghost, I just feel like this is such an up-and-coming guy who's just already an ass-kicker, who's just going to be kicking a ton of ass for the next few years.
Yeah.
And I know this isn't the most elegant way to put this, but that's who he is. He's a tremendous offensive defenseman already at this point in his career. And to be giving him up to get another tremendous offensive defenseman and probably the best in the game, probably.
Yeah.
It still just feels a little counterintuitive to me.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and I think, I guess Gosper would be another untouchable. I think there's honestly might be the only two, though, because when you look at everybody up front in terms of the forwards, there's really, I mean, Giroux and Voracek are enough now where if you traded one of them, I don't think it would be the end of the world, depending on the situation, I guess.
What about Couturier?
Yeah, Couturier actually might be untouchable.
That's a tough one, man, because you don't find Couturier's everywhere. No. He just does everything well at this point.
Yeah.
And I think I'd hesitate in Couturier.
Yeah. And that contract,
I would do Voracek, though. I would definitely do Voracek, and I like Jake Voracek a lot, but I would do Voracek.
Well, okay, so I was going to say, what would be a package that you'd be all right sending to the Senators? So Sanheim?
I would do Sanheim, yeah.
Sanheim in a first.
I do Simmons. No, yeah, heartbeat. Love Wayne Simmons, but I do that easy. What about Konechny?
Yeah, I feel like Konechny is the biggest, if the Flyers were to go this route, Konechny would be the biggest piece to move in a swing for the fences type deal like this. Which again, I think goes into the idea of kind of being counterintuitive, but I feel like he is a guy that, I mean, if Hextall was to pick out a high-end guy on this team that he doesn't like his playing style, I think it would be Konechny. Because he's too offensive. I don't know. Like, he just doesn't... He's not defensively responsible.
Well, he's also reckless. He's super reckless, which is why we love him. But yeah. I could see from maybe a Ron Hextall point of view or Dave Hextall point of view why that could be tiresome.
Yeah. So, would you do that? I mean, three roster players and a first for Carlson?
Yeah, I would do that.
I think I might too, yeah. I mean, like, you're going to have to give up somebody. Like, that's the thing.
And
that's why I hate doing, like, the trade scenario thing. Not like this right here, but I mean, like, usually people on Twitter, it's a...
Well, people don't want to give up anybody.
Yeah, it's always like...
Why can't you just trade McDonald for Carlson?
Yeah, it's always like, oh, why doesn't Ron go trade him? It's like, all right, who do you want to give up?
McDonald and Laterra for Eric Carlson. Yeah, that's going
to
work.
And it's like, no, you have to give up somebody. It's like, no, I just, you know, we should go get him. It's like, yeah, but you have to give up. You're going to have to give up something you don't want to give up because that's
right.
There's another team here.
I think the guys in this scenario for me that I really would not want to give up are Sanheim and Konechny. And I actually would not hesitate on Sanheim. I think Ghost, because I feel like he's such a special player, I hesitate on Ghost.
Well,
and Provorov.
Yeah.
Provorov's a stud. You have to basically, I don't know. You'd have to pay me a ton of money to endorse a Provorov move anywhere.
Sanheim, well, the Sanheim part is so easy because, I mean, if you just trade Sanheim from the defense, your top three are going to be Ghost, Provorov, and Carlson, which,
right,
like, what the fuck? I mean, that's just going to be an absurd half of your defense. And if you could put, I mean, you could even put one of them on each of your pairs.
So clearly it's Ghost and Provorov and Carlson and McDonald.
Oh, God. Yeah, that'd be something. You could probably do Carlson, Hag, and then Sanheim, McDonald, or Sanheim's gone. You could do Sam Marin, Gudas. Just play them for 5 minutes a night, and they just take about 10 penalty minutes each. So, yeah, but I mean, if you...
The Bash Brothers.
Yeah, I think that would be the biggest selling point. It's just half your, like... You'd have Ghost, Provorov, and Carlson all on the same defense. But it would take, I mean, I think that's part of the reason why they're not in on it. It would take one of the bigger, at least one of the bigger blue chip prospects, if not two, and a first, and then a roster player. So, and the roster player, I mean, it's probably going to be somebody. Yeah, I mean, if you're the Senators looking at the Flyers roster and you're looking for a guy that you can reasonably get, I think it would be Konechny. Because I feel like,
Especially given the forward depth. I guess if it's not Konechny, they might look at getting Frost or somebody of that nature. But Konechny's the one guy who's got some NHL seasoning already who can step in tomorrow and contribute to your team.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of the centers real quick, Mark Stone is filing for arbitration, which usually would not be the biggest news with any other team. But considering that the centers hate giving people that deserve money money, I think he might be available now.
Money.
And I don't know. Like, I feel like he did this because he doesn't. I mean, who blames him? He doesn't really want to be in Ottawa. And by signing or filing for arbitration, they're gonna have to argue over how much money he's worth, and he's probably worth more than he's getting. And the center's gonna be given the ultimatum of, do you pay him or do you want to move him? And knowing the Senators and how they've been for the last 2 years now, they might move him.
They might move him.
And that would be
hilarious.
How
do you feel about Stone?
I love Stone. He might be one of my favorite players to actually watch, because he's got pretty good underlying numbers too. But he is just somebody that when you watch him aesthetically, he's a lot of fun to watch. He's really good at defensively, breaking up plays and getting the puck back. And just extending plays, and he's also pretty gifted offensively. So I think he's underrated because he plays for the Senators. But when you watch that run they went on to the Eastern Conference Final, like he was probably the best player in Game 7 against the Penguins, him or Carlson. So I don't think they would go and get him now, but I would be all about getting Mark Stone. And that's another situation where I have no idea what you would trade for Mark Stone. Like, no idea. Like, the Carlson's one of those bigger names. Like, Carlson's a big enough name, and it always seems to be the starting point is a first, a prospect, and a roster player. And Carlson's better than most big-name players, so you'd probably throw in a little bit more there. But Mark Stone, I really don't know. I have no idea what the trade package would be.
But yeah, I can't tell you on that one. Carlson, I can envision. Stone, I'm not just not sure.
Yeah, but would trade for. Definitely trade for.
Yeah, and let me quickly mention the Flyperbole poll of the night. Flyperbole, I'm so sorry.
Oh, boy.
The poll tonight was, how in are the Flyers on Carlson? And the choices were, so in, really friggin' in, EK eating cheesesteaks, and are you insane?
Please tell me, are you insane? One.
So in gets 1% of the vote. Really friggin' in gets 3%. EK eating cheesesteaks gets 28%. So a Claude Giroux amount.
Okay, nice.
And with the Yager amount, it's, are you insane?
All right, good. So the as usual, the Claude Giroux amount came up short. So am I right, folks? Jesus,
oh boy,
you know what I'm saying?
And Yager wins as points. Always, just like at gambling.
Yeah, you bet on that poll who'd win, and you think you paid him off? You think he's finally got out of he's over in the Czech league now, so he's probably still.
No, he's got a few more paychecks.
Yeah, he's still. Yeah. Yep. That's
Let's run.
There are a couple other moves, real quick.
Well, that's what I was going to talk about. Yeah, I was going to transition over to these other moves.
You want to talk about Stastny to Vegas?
Oh, I want to talk about Stastny so friggin' bad. No, I don't care. We can talk about Stastny to Vegas. What do you think about this? Yes, the contract. So 3 years, $6.5 million a year for Stastny, and he's going to be the first-line guy, you think?
I think so. When you look at the rest of their – I mean, William Carlson had a monster year. But also, I don't know what to take away from this Vegas Golden Knights season because I don't think it was real. Like, I don't know what any of these players can actually do. They were all bums before this team got together. I feel like they might all revert back to being bums next season. And they're not going to have James Neal this year. Went to Calgary for 5 years at 5.75.
In a move that sure did happen.
Now, in the Flames defense, though, that top six is now Gaudreau, Monahan, James Neal, and then their second line is Tkachuk, Mikael Backlund, and Michael Frolik. And I know Backlund and Frolik aren't the sexiest names, but they're two pretty damn good players. So they have a pretty good top six. They theoretically have a really good defense too, and then they have Mike Smith, who is maybe not the sexiest name, both terms of goaltending services and actual generic name appeal, but he is a halfway decent goalie. So maybe they actually do something next year. The Stastny deal, I feel like, is fine to me. I think that's enough term where it's not going to become, because what was it? Somebody threw out 5 years, $5 million. So maybe that's what Stastny was going for, and then McPhee was like, "Look, if you take off a couple years, we'll give you more AAV." And I think that's probably what they did. And $6.5 million is—it's a decent amount for him, but he is, like we were just saying, he might be the first line center, and 3 years is not too much time for him. So I think I think that's a fine signing. Okay, so this the Ryan O'Reilly trade. If you want to talk about packaging players together for one player.
Yeah, so St. Louis was the team to finally bite on O'Reilly. Yeah. I know a lot of teams are in the mix there. I know the Flyers were talked about at some point. There were some other teams mentioned. My problem with O'Reilly was always just he's got a lot of years left at a very, very high AAV, 7.5 a year, which is a lot for a guy who's probably going to be your second or third line center.
Yeah. And so this trade, and also I don't think any I don't think any of the money was held by the Sabres. I think all of it went to St. Louis, if I heard that.
That's
correctly.
My understanding of the deal. Yeah.
So this trade, though, 2019 first, 2021 second, Tage Thompson, Patrick Berglund, Vladimir Sabatka for Ryan O'Reilly. How do you think the Blues did in this trade? Do you think they gave up too much?
So, I don't know. I don't know a ton about these prospects, to be honest here.
Yeah.
But it seems like a lot. I heard it looks like more than it actually is.
I
think it's a good move for St. Louis overall. Yeah. If they can afford it, it makes their center lineup really good and interchangeable. I think it's they're very strong down the middle right now. I'm certainly glad that we got that the Flyers got the St. Louis Blues first round pick this past season instead of next year.
Yeah, no, that is true. Yeah, it's very big. So I think that was just a lot of quantity over quality. Tage Thompson is a fine prospect, but he's not going to change a franchise. Patrick Berglund, I think, is a little overhyped for what he is. He's a guy he's got size and his. It always seems like he has a lot of potential, is what they talk about, but he just doesn't really come through each year. And then Vladimir Sabatka is a guy that he's not going to become anything. He's not really anything either. I think he's a fine player, but I think he was just kind of thrown in there at the last second. So it's really just a 2019 first and a second in a couple years. So they got a lot of stuff. Can't argue that, but I don't know if it's really. I don't know. I mean, if it also helped, if this was so they didn't have to take any of the O'Reilly contract, like, and to hold on to it, I think that played into it, and I think that makes sense. Like, I think that's, if you're going to have to lessen the pot so you don't have to deal with that contract, I think that's fine. Because, like you said, yeah, that's it's another half decade at $7.5 million a year. That's a steep amount, but he is pretty good. And they also signed Tyler Bozak, which is not exactly the sexiest name out there, but they're going to have Ryan O'Reilly, Braden Shen, and Tyler Bozak down the middle. And I think that, the Blues were a team that traded away Stastny last year, and they were pretty close to making the playoffs, and I think they improved to Ryan O'Reilly. They add Bozak to the bottom six, probably. I think that makes them an even better team. And for a while there, the Blues were at the top of the league. So if, and also I think signing Chad Johnson was kind of big too, because Jake Allen kind of, didn't have the greatest year and can disappear sometimes in the biggest spot. But Chad Johnson will be a nice fallback after they lost Carter Hutton to, I believe, the Sabres as well. That's our Blues update. That's our Blues minute.
Blues minute.
Yeah. Two, wait, there, okay, so two more signings, and then we're...
That's our Blues stroll. That's a the thing they do out in media, the Blues stroll, which is the most media thing I can possibly think of.
Steven, I think it might be time to see how many points Zach Rinaldo scored last year, because...
Oh, bro!
This
bro!
Man. I know, bro. This guy...
Did you see I gave you a little homage with that?
Yeah. Yes. Bruh. Bruh. 1 year, $650,000 to presumably come in and sucker punch somebody in the two games he's going to play this year. So it's not bad money, you know?
On a good team.
On a good team.
I'm very distraught that the Predators made this move. Good team.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I'm pretty sure, I think he might still be suspended.
That's classic Zach.
I'm going to be honest with everybody here. I don't really keep up with the Coyotes, but he had that whole thing where he got suspended against the Avalanche like a couple days before Christmas. And I think it was a pretty, like, I don't actually.
All right, Craig.
Suspended, but.
What's the point total for Zach Rinaldo last year for our dear friend Rinaldo?
How many games did he play?
53.
Cool.
Presumably suspended for all the other ones.
53.
Need some good Rinaldo watch music.
Six. I'm saying six.
Oh, you are so close. 7 points.
Oh, God damn. I was really going back and forth.
A whopping 5 goals for Zeke Rinaldo. Oh. And 2 apples. He's not keeping the doctor away.
Oh, man. He's not getting nice. Get that Cy Young season going on for a... That's 5 goals, huh?
Now, as I always like to... That's his career high in goals, but... Not his career high in points. What is Zach Rinaldo's career high in points?
Oh, it's got to be 9. He's never broken 10.
It is 9. That's... He got that in 11-12 when he played 66 games for our Philadelphia Flyers, and he had 2 goals and 7 assists.
And how many PIMs? Because I wrote down this stat because I wanted to share it.
232.
232 penalty minutes in 2011-12.
In 66 games.
It was just amazing. And since that season, the third
that is, amount of pins. That's 3.5 penalty minutes a game.
Yeah, so he's taking at least, yeah. Which makes sense. I'll share their stat, and then I'll ask you if you remember this.
He only had 44 this past year. He's, you know, he's learning his lesson, Craig. I think it's time to bring him home.
No, thank you.
Straight up trade, Travis Sanheim, Zach Rinaldo, okay. Says no.
Paul Holmgren is just sweating right now.
Oh, guys, that's some intensity. That's some
guys,
grit.
I don't
right
know what
there.
To do.
I need some grit. Yeah, no, I'm telling you, Paul Holmgren is stuck in a glass case, like a movie villain. Just he's pacing like a tiger. He's Hannibal Lecter right now.
Let's see. Oh, he got suspended 6 games. Wow. Never mind then.
Wow.
I can't believe he only got 6. He also got suspended 5 games at the beginning of the season. So
that's
I can't believe he got suspended 6 games for. He sucker punched somebody on the Avalanche. Who cares? It's the Avalanche. We'll say Eric Johnson. We'll go with Eric Johnson. Just sucker punched Eric Johnson or Calvin Picard right in the face. Just unbelievable what he did to Sven Andraghetto. Just, I can't believe he did it to him. But, yeah. I can't believe he only got 6 games for that. Also missed 7 games with an upper body injury. And then the Predators signed him to a 2-way contract. So he's probably going to be punching people in the AHL next season. 232 PIMs. Since the 2011-12 season, that is the third most for a player in a season. Steve Downey, former Flyer great, had 238 in 2014-15 for the Penguins.
Actual hockey player.
Hey, we got Max Talbot and Steve Downey in the same episode. That's pretty good. The Dijon Kovacevic. Derek Dorsett had 230. I almost said Philip Dorsett. Derek Dorsett, 235 in 2011-12 for the Blue Jackets. Then Rinaldo, and then Tom Sestito had 213 for the Canucks back in 2013-14.
Oh, another ex-Flyer great.
Yeah. Yeah, so they definitely signed some of these guys. Actually,
Paul Holmgren definitely signed or traded for some of these guys.
Yeah, traded for Tom Cestito, man. That's something. The Canucks made a couple bad signings. Jay Beagle for way too long. Antoine Roussel for way too long. 4 years, they both got $3 million a year. Roussel had 17 points in 126 PIMs last year in 73 games for Dallas. Jay Beagle had 22 points in 79 games before he won a cup. So it's worth 4 years of him doing checking line duties.
All about that experience. So,
Jim Benning. Yeah, Jim Benning is just he's killing it, man. I would absolutely – if you're a Canucks or Islanders fan right now, this is the time to just, like, I don't know, pick up a new hobby. You don't have to watch hockey. You don't have to. You can be free right now. If you left and you said – somebody was like, why'd you stop watching hockey? And you're like, Jim Benning. They would go, all right, we got that. Like,
I get it. I understand.
We understand. We're here for you. Do you need a hug? It's fine. But, like, yeah. Blue Jackets also re-signed Boone Jenner and then also signed Anthony Duclair, who I thought could be a nice little bottom six player for the Flyers or anywhere in the lineup because he's not that terrible. But 1 year, $650,000 for Duclair, which I don't understand why teams seem to be passing him around. This is his fourth different team, and he's only 23.
Maybe they think he's related to Leclerc, and they just bypass the
Do. More. Yeah. He's not standing in front of the net scoring 50 goals. What is this? So, yeah, I mean, see, that's about it. That's all I got for you. That's all we have. I don't know if you want to... Yeah, any closing thoughts? Any last words?
Last, you know, life can be very difficult, Craig, and sometimes I like to think back on my final thought. No, I'm kidding. I did 90s Quizzo last week.
Give me the Al
Pacino
speech from Any Given Sunday.
Oh, no, I was actually going for Jerry Springer, but which I only remembered was a thing because Em and I did 90s Quizzo the other week at brunch, which was a nice time. But it had referenced Jerry Springer's final thought, which I hadn't thought of in years.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I haven't thought about that either.
No, if it was Pacino, I would have to be going like, we're going to play football out there.
One inch at a time. Yeah, I forgot Jerry Springer's final thought thing, too. I love that Jerry Springer is such a big – or was such a big show that – like his bodyguard got a spinoff, like on a scripted show. They were like, this guy could bring in some money too.
Well, that's you're hoping for your spinoff soon.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, the
because
the
we're Craig bringing in a lot of money.
The Craig Wilco show. Craig I just Wilco. Do the same. I do the same exact thing as Steve Wilkos.
Yeah.
Shave my head, just like pretend like I'm breaking up fights. Whoa, easy guys. Take it easy.
I would watch that. You're a big guy. Yeah. I'd love to see you break up fights. It'd be great.
So many people would watch that when they're stuck at a Jiffy Lube or a doctor's office.
That's accurate.
Doctor's office. It may not be on a doctor's office.
Well, you know, it's some sort of waiting room.
Yeah, any kind of waiting room, yeah. A Jiffy Lube waiting room screams Jerry Springer to me, though. Oh. That seems like the ideal, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's probably how that show is still on. It's just every Jiffy Lube in America is tuned into Jerry Springer.
Nothing else on. Might as well put this crap.
Might as well put it on the JS, man. Might as well put it on Springs.
Springs, that's it.
Wasn't he like the mayor of Cincinnati or something?
Let's go with yes.
All right. Good. That's a fact.
That's a
whether
fact.
Or not it was, but.
Real news, yeah.
The governor of Tennessee. I don't know how elected officials happen. I mean, it's he's the president of Cincinnati or something.
The president of Cincinnati. I don't think you know what you're talking about anymore. I think the heat's getting to you, Craig.
I'm going to look it up right now. We're going to get to the bottom of this right here, though. Okay, so
you get to the bottom of this before I pass out from the pressing humidity in the Philadelphia region.
It's hot. It's July, and it's hot out there.
It's horrific.
Yeah. N- 1982, Springer sought the Democratic nomination for governor of Ohio. He failed to win. Finished in a distant third behind Richard F. Celeste, of course.
Of course.
And William J. Brown. So,
and
I want to take a guess that there have been 450 people named William J. Brown in the history of politics. That sounds like a very political name.
Oh, Willie Brown's back running again.
Oh, Willie J. is back in the house. Vetoing stuff and filibustering everybody.
And by the way, I casually mentioned LeBron there. Clearly, if he was to run for anything in Ohio today, he would be thoroughly trounced.
Yeah, probably. I just enjoy that they always have to take down. I kind of wanted him to stay in Cleveland. I know that they don't really help him out there, but they got nothing else going on. Feel bad for him. I mean, they got to watch the Browns now, which is terrible.
Oh, it's terrible. But they haven't won a game in about 20 years.
the big LeBron witness poster that they always put up, they had to take it down after he left in 2011. They had to take it down again today, or this week, I mean. I always think that's a little funny, just like they had to do it again.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I hope he enjoys L.A. Losing in the second round.
He can play with LaMelo, LaAnthony,
whatever
Tangeray.
The ball names are.
Yeah, all the ball names. Have you ever seen one of my favorite SNL characters from recent years is when Kenan Thompson will come out as LeVar Ball.
Oh, no, I don't think I've seen that, actually.
You should check that out. That's good. He's just always talking like complete trash. You know, it's just like,
yeah,
making the biggest brand out there. Big baller. Like, shoe's going to cost $600. It's great. It's so good. All right. I am getting overheated in my hot basement, so I'm going to call it on this episode. But
all this Flyers talk heating you up.
You know, this Flyers talk is just heating me up a little too much. It's making me a little sweaty. Hot and bothered. But, yeah, free agency period. I'm happy about JVR, and hopefully Erik Karlsson ends up going to Vegas after all this, because I don't want to see him in the East anymore. Or here.
Yeah, just get him out of the hopefully just get him out of the conference.
I'm not getting my hopes up for a Karlsson trade here. I refuse. So.
I am not either. Yeah.
I'm rooting for Vegas because I don't think it'll be here. So, gang, if you have any feedback, the best place is on Twitter. You can reach Craig at SportsAreBad.
Yes. Correct.
Correct. Absolutely correct. You can reach you can reach me at Flyperbole or at Estebom. Follow PSH Radio and follow Broad Street Hockey. That's all we got, guys. But until next time, as always, in the words of the great Gene Hart, good night and good hockey.
Hello, everybody. This is Flyperbole. It is a podcast about hockey, mostly the Flyers, but also other hockey things, like other hockey teams that play the sport of hockey. Steve, but not Steve Hartnell, and Craig, but not Craig Ruby. No, this isn't all those hockey guys. These are the guys who watch the hockey sport. Yeah!
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.